Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
I want to welcome you all this morning to worship, especially our visitors from the Genesee Valley Children's Choir and their families. We're looking forward to having you bring us a beautiful session of music this morning in worship. We want to begin with announcements. We will not be doing worship services next Sunday morning on Christmas Day. We encourage you to stay home, be with your family and your friends next Sunday morning. Anybody else with announcements that need to be highlighted?
Just as a reminder for people that would like church next Sunday morning, they can listen to WYSL at 7:30 because Mark is already making plans as to what's going to be played.
Anyone else?
It is a great joy to have the Genesee Valley Children's Choir here this morning under their director, Amy Cochran. And they did a beautiful concert last night. And we thank them for coming back out this morning to share their music with us. So thank you, Amy, and all of the children and all of the families who are here this morning.
Is a time to bind up the brokenhearted.
Come, Lord, and make all things new.
For past wrongs that prevent us from moving forward.
Come, Lord, and make all things new.
For any bitterness that scratches our soul.
Come, Lord, and make all things new.
For relationships left in decay and neglect.
Come, Lord, and make all things new.
For any action that has wounded us or by which we have wounded others.
Grant that we might have the peace of Christ as we wait, the love of Christ as we act, and the grace of Christ as we speak.
As we pray together. Merciful God, Advent reminds us that you left heaven's majesty to walk among wounded people in a broken world.
We thank you that your love knows no boundaries or limitations.
No wound of this earth is greater than the wounds you come to heal. Towards the promise of healing and wholeness made known in you, we pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let's enjoy the Genesee Valley Children's Choir.
Thank you, choir. Beautiful job. Our scripture lesson this morning is out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. Prophets stood with priests as God's special representatives. The prophet's role was to speak for God, confronting the people and their leaders with God's commands and messages. As God's special messenger, Isaiah prophesied during the reign of several rulers, including King Ahaz. The Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet King Ahaz and tell him he does not need to fear his overthrow from other kings." But King Ahaz would not listen. Listen to chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." God's word for God's people. Praise be to God.
Thanks, Don. And we will start with God is with us. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we come to the central and the essential meaning of what is celebrated at Christmas. God with us. As Christians, we believe in the incarnation. We believe that God, the one who created all that is, stepped out of eternity and became human. We believe that God took on human flesh. That's what incarnation means, putting on flesh. The Son of God was born, Jesus of Nazareth. Matthew's gospel tells us that. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, of course, Matthew here is quoting the prophet Isaiah, who we just heard from. The original statement is said before King Ahaz, king of Judah. He is king about 730 years before Jesus. Isaiah comes to him and tells him that despite the troubles that the nation of Judah was facing, they were being invaded by other nations. Despite that, Isaiah says, the Lord God will give him a sign that Jerusalem will eventually be saved. And that sign was this. A young woman would give birth to a son, and they would name him Emmanuel. Now, I want to give you more of a literal translation of what Isaiah says. The Lord will give you a proof sign anyway. See, a young maiden will conceive. She will give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel. That is, God with us. See, in the Hebrew, the word translated there as young maiden could also be translated as virgin, depending on the context. To better understand this sign and why it was important, we need to know what's going on a little bit more in detail in that period in the Middle East. There was war in the Middle East. 3,000 years later, and what? Nothing has changed. There was war then, and there is war now. Back then, the nation of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem, they are stuck in the middle of a geopolitical fight between Assyria, that was the major world power at the time, and several smaller countries, including Israel, which was the country just north of Judah. King Ahaz has aligned himself with Assyria, and as a result, he now finds himself under attack from these smaller countries. Jerusalem is surrounded. And it's about this time that the prophet Isaiah comes to him and tells him to trust in the Lord. He tells the king, God is with us. We will survive. In other words, Isaiah says, forget these human alliances. Instead, trust in the Lord our God. Why? Why give up on these human alliances? Because God has a purpose for Judah and for the Jewish people. One of the Psalms even talks about this. Psalm 146 has two lines, and it says this. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. See, what was about to happen, the birth of this baby in the king's court, would be a sign of hope. It would be a sign that God is going to take care of God's people. So what is a sign? Well, a sign points us in a direction, doesn't it? Tells us where to go, what to do. In the Bible, a sign is an event that makes visible the truth. It's a sign of the power of what God has said and has done or will do. A sign does not necessarily mean something dramatic or unnatural. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. See, a sign could be as simple as the birth of a baby, or the convergence of planets in the sky seen as a special star. Or it could be something very dramatic, like a man being raised from the dead after 3 days. But we'll talk about that at Easter time. Right now, let's just concentrate on this. A sign is something that points us towards God. That points us towards what God is doing. So 730 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah comes along and says to King Isaiah, here is a sign. A baby's going to be born. That means God is with us. We are not alone. God has not abandoned us. God will take care of us. These nations that are attacking us will not defeat us because God is with us. By now, some of you might be thinking, okay, Keith, why all this history? What does this have to do with Christmas? Well, we know it fits with Christmas because Matthew, the gospel writer, Jesus' disciples, and the whole of the early church picked up on this idea of a sign from God. And they realized that it fit with Jesus and his birth. I bring this up because today we are still faced with the issue of how do we understand and interpret Isaiah's statement? Did what he say to King Ahaz only apply to his wife having a baby boy? By the way, that's who we believe is the young woman that he's talking about, Isaiah's wife. Or was this a foretelling? Is this a prediction of what's going to happen to a young girl by the name of Mary from the village of Nazareth when she gives birth to a baby boy under questionable circumstances? Or does Isaiah's comment carry two meanings? One for his time and one for almost 800 years later when Jesus is born. Personally, I see Isaiah's statement as a dual sign. It's multi-layered. To those who first heard it, it was a sign of hope that God was going to take care of Judah and Jerusalem. In the midst of a war, they would not be defeated. God would save them. I also believe that God had another, a more deeper meaning to this, and it has to do with the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. What we see in King Ahaz's situation is actually something I think all of us are faced with in our lives. And I know I am certainly faced with it a lot of times and have been in more than one occasion. What I see in King Ahaz is this. Each of us faces a time when we're going to either have to decide to trust in our own judgment or we're going to trust in God's plans for us. Some of the decisions that we are faced with are big ones. Other ones are just the day-to-day living. But either the big ones or the little ones, we have to decide where we're going to place our faith. Are we going to put our faith in ourselves, or are we going to put our faith and our decisions in God? See, at times, friends, I don't think we stop and remember that God is with us, and God will see us through the situations. Now, we need to realize it may not be the way we want it to be, but it will be the way God knows it should be. Consider what we read in the New Testament book of Romans. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. How many of you have stopped at quoting at that point in the verse? But you got to remember what goes on after that. Those who have been called according to God's purpose. When we're following God's purpose for our life, things will work out for the good. Consider Mary. Pregnant before she is going to be married is not a good situation in her world. But she also believes that God is with her and God knew what to do and things would turn out all right. Here's another area we need to decide if we're going to trust God. And it's Christmas time and in Jesus' birth. See, as Christians, we believe that God was in Jesus, that God was reconciling the world back to God. We do not believe that God is aloof. We do not believe that God is uncaring, some impersonal force. Rather, we believe that God does love us. God loves us as individuals. God loves you. God loves me. John wrote this in his letter. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christmas is the time, Christmas is the sign that shows us that God has come right into the midst of our hurting, into the midst of our pain, into the midst of our brokenness, and God says, let me show you that you are loved, and let me show you how your life can be better. As followers of Jesus, we believe God is with us. We believe that Jesus came so we can be spiritually healed and made whole. And then we start to live in God's kingdom, here, today. God's reign has started. We just need to enter into it and allow Jesus to be born into us. And when that happens, we start to live our lives differently. When John wrote that letter, he went on to say this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." When Christ lives in us, we have his love in us and we start to share that love. I read a story once years ago about a group of monks living in a monastery in Eastern Europe. It's back in the 1600s. And they were a declining group. No young men were coming to be monks.
And things weren't going too well inside the walls of the monastery. They were always fighting with each other. They weren't talking to each other. And they really didn't act like they loved each other. Well, one day the head monk, the abbot, went into the village to talk with the only other spiritual leader in town, a Jewish rabbi. And as they were sitting there talking, the abbot says to the rabbi, he says, "You know, I've got these concerns about my monks. They're not living God-fearing lives. They're not looking out for one another." The rabbi sat there and meditated for a few minutes, and then he looked at the abbot and he said, "God has told me the Messiah is amongst you." The abbot's like, "What?" Wasn't sure what to do with this, and thanks the rabbi and gets up and goes back to the monastery. And when he gets there, the monks say, "Well, what did the rabbi say?" And the abbot says, "The Messiah is amongst us." Now, with this cryptic message, everyone just starts thinking about it. Well, what does it mean, the Messiah is amongst us? And some of them started to say, "You know what? Maybe one of us is the Messiah." Well, when they started to think that way, they started to act differently towards one another. There was no more resentment and no more arguing. They started to treat each other with love and kindness. Brother John, the cook who would never talk to Brother Michael, now started to ask him how things were when he would serve him his meal. Because Brother John said, "What if Brother Michael is the Messiah? Would I not speak to him?" So each of these monks started to act differently towards each other, because they all started to think, "What if this monk is the Messiah?" And eventually word spread around the area that if you wanted to find a place that would treat you with love and respect and to receive God's grace and God's mercy, go to the monastery. And soon they had more young men coming to join the monastery. Why? Because they were being treated with love. Eventually what happened was the monks realized something. None of them were necessarily the Messiah. So they started to say, "Well, maybe the rabbi meant that somebody in the village is the Messiah." So the monks got out of their monastery and they went out into the village and they started to treat all the people around them with love and respect and kindness and grace and mercy. And eventually that area shone the light of God's love, and it looked like a part of God's kingdom had come on earth. Friends, Christmas is the time of year that we celebrate the fact that God has come amongst us. We believe God has revealed to us who God is. We believe that in Jesus, God gave us the ultimate sign of love. And Jesus told us, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another." Friends, as followers of Jesus, God has called us to be a sign of his love to each other and those outside of these four walls. I bring you glad tidings of good news. God is with us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.